What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, and I'm here with Lotus, as usual, and our patrons, because it is the end of April. It's actually May. We had to delay last week's episode because my brain decided to try to kill me again. But hey, I'm doing better. And Lotus, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad that we actually got to kind of delay in the end, because it was going to be kind of me doing the show without you, which is not ever as much fun, but it also turned out to work scheduling wise better for people to do it this week. So
There were a lot of people
glad things worked out.
Yeah, who wouldn't have been here this week or been here last week or who could be here this week, including Rob the Princess and Hercene and Falcon with a Box On and Blinding Vision, who get to join us this week. Welcome, everybody. So glad that you are all here. We could do a silly thing where you all unmute at the same time and make a noise if you want. You want to do that? No.
Yeah.
There you go. We did it. Yay, we did it. Okay, welcome to the show. That was the best intro we've ever done. With the success of the Fallout TV show, we decided that it would be a lot of fun to throw out some ideas about how they could take that success and then do it with Elder Scrolls. How do we turn Elder Scrolls into a successful TV show? And I'm sure there's going to be lots of fun ideas here. Is it going to be along the lines of Fallout, where it's a new story in the same existing universe? Is it a retelling of one of the existing stories? Is there some other angle we can come at from this? Who would the main characters be? What would be the way to introduce an audience that isn't familiar with Elder Scrolls to the Elder Scrolls world and do it in a way where they know, like, well, this is not Lord of the Rings. This is not some other generic fantasy world, you know. So I have some questions, but I really want to hear people's ideas, and I'm excited to get all of that. So let's just get into it. Would any of you guys like to start us off with some concepts that you have in your heads about how you could do an Elder Scrolls TV show?
I can go first.
Hercene is going to go first. Lead the hunt, my friend.
One thing I think would work well for an Elder Scrolls show is that there's so much details and cultures and everything that goes with the world. So I think like an anthology of episodes work, where every episode is like its own story, following unique characters throughout the ages, doing a thing here and there.
Oh, that's a cool. I hadn't considered that. You could do... now you've got my mind thinking. You could have
literally dropped
my jaw actually dropped. You could have a separate episode for different locations on the continent, or a different race being the focus of each episode, and then by the end of that season tie them all together in some some way. That's a really cool idea. Like, you could start with, say, the Nords, like a very familiar type group that's like, oh, they're people like us. These are humans, and we can identify with that. But then you could move to
in a cart waking up. Yes,
exactly. Right. And then you can move to some of the weirder ones as the show goes on. You could start adding the elves, different groups of elves in the beast races, all of that, and kind of have a different group, and then have kind of a main protagonist for each part of that story as it kind of expands out. That's a really cool idea.
As long as every single episode opens up with the main character being a prisoner of some kind.
So what? Oh, so we would have, we would have, how many regions are there? Nine? How many is that? Nine different regions. Nine episodes
depends,
in a season.
But yeah.
It depends. Yeah.
But it depends on the time period.
There's also like 10 playable races in the more modern games. So you can use that as a reference point.
Yeah, you could do 10 and like, you know, kind of include Hrothgar. They deserve a little more spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you could have, you would have that many different main characters who are all prisoners and can all influence the way the world works. And it would be like an ensemble cast kind of thing, but not all of them necessarily would be good guys, I would assume. Or at least they would all have their own agendas.
You could have each story be like, because like when people play Skyrim, everyone has a very different path of the kind of game they want to play. And each episode could kind of explore a different kind of like style that the audience could relate to each one in a very different way. That way, through the whole grand scheme of the season, someone connects to someone out really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a really cool idea. Hercene, let's go back to you, because you kind of pitched the idea. Do you have an idea of like how you would make your way through the season, like which things you'd focus on first, or like what even what time frame this would be in?
Time frame, I'm not too sure. Developing a story on the spot would be a little difficult.
Before, just like, yeah, you don't need to define the whole story, but
you
like
you don't have an entire script like, just handy, dude.
Right. But I was suggesting you start with like the Nords or one of the groups that's more identifiable as being like human and very similar to us. And then before you get to the weird stuff, would you do something like that, or would you take it in a different direction?
What I would probably do is instead of like everybody at some point meeting up, probably doing different stories at a time, and maybe like neighboring, I guess, protagonists, like neighboring protagonists and the Providences would kind of meet up, but there's still like multiple stories as those stories kind of congregate to a more connected story. So there's like, instead of 10 stories at once, it drops down to like three, with like three different groups trying to do a quest. And then probably by the end of season one, or God forbid season two, they actually all come together to like defeat the big bad. Mm-hmm. And like, this could also be the first time they all meet. Something along that line would be kind of cool.
That feels very Game of Thrones like to me. Like as you go through the first and second, third season of Game of Thrones, you're given these very disparate parts of the story from different locations. But then as the seasons play out, they all start to come together.
Yeah. At first, it doesn't even make sense why these are all in the same story. And then it's like, oh, then the threads that connect them suddenly start to make sense as the series goes on.
Yeah.
It's striking chords with me, too. Yeah. There's a book series I read that really resembles this idea called the Demonada series. It's like a young adult series, like back in the early 2000s. And they had three main characters. Power of the Three is very good in storytelling. And they had a character that was like 400 years ago. Has this story being told, and then another character is like in the 80s, and then the final third character is like modern times, which is like 2010 or something like that. Uh-huh. And you're like, how the hell are all of these stories getting connected? They're nothing to do with each other. And then they all like transcend together, and they meet in this one meeting point, and they're all meeting each other for the first time, and they're all facing the big bad at the same time, and it's all come together, and it's just a really cool thing. So that'd be really cool to see that. And you could do that really easily with lifespans with Elder Scrolls, having like a lot of the elf characters starting a few hundred years back, and they're like, what does this have to do with anything? And then it's like jumps forward, and now it's in the same time period as everyone else. That'd be really cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's also kind of Dark Tower-esque if you've read the series by Stephen King. Well, like there's like even through the first few books, it's like, oh, we're over here with these people, and now we're over here with these people. How does this all fit together? And then eventually it does. Blinding, I saw that you wanted to chime in. What do you want to add to this?
So I mean, like especially when you mention three groups, there's currently an ongoing game in the series, not a mainline game, that has three groups, and something that would bring all three of them to roughly the same place.
Maybe that's actually an interesting twist on that idea.
Yeah. Hmm. So for people who don't play ESO, you're talking about the three different factions in ESO that are in competition with each other. And in fact, that would be a really interesting time period to put the show in, is in the interregnum, because it is so chaotic.
Well, especially with the way the game has it split up. If you originally, this is super far back, the idea was to just play your one faction, and then they expanded out because turns out Elder Scrolls people like to play everything. So they made it so that you could experience the other two factions in sort of a weird situation type of deal. So like being able to just have an actual person in each of those alliances, and then have those three sides, they could each kind of have their own motivation of like, each of these thinks that they are the correct choice in solving this problem. And it's like, it's weird because if you had each of them devoted to their side and people connect with them, and then, you have your finale, all three of these sides are like going to kill each other because they're all enemies. And it's like, well, that's going to make quite the pull on people watching the show. It's like, well, which one did you connect with the most?
Right. And then you get to whatever the big dilemma is, and you find out it's like freaking Molech Ball or something.
Right.
And it's like, okay, maybe we should work together.
That's what I was about to get at, because I mean, while that, the war is going on, there's so much more going on. It's not just and it could unify or maybe not unify the groups.
Yeah, yeah, again, this feels very Game of Thrones with the White Walkers. Like, you have all the political stuff, but then you've got, like, oh, this big danger that will destroy everyone if people don't start to cooperate.
And the Night King does share the same color scheme as Molag.
is it more interesting or less interesting to have the main characters of this hypothetical show be the Nord hero, the Brightening hero?
I was about to say, trailers we keep getting, it went from them murdering each other to now working together. Like,
they're almost exclusively working together now.
Yeah.
I almost think it would be more interesting to not have it be them. Like, they could be potentially characters in the show.
Sure.
But, like, it allows people to connect with these characters that don't already have the story kind of laid out for them.
Yeah, they're supposed to be kind of like that blank template of a character. And, like, they're whoever you want to imagine them to be. And I think probably just keep them in that imaginative state and let's not give them a real identity.
Yeah, generic faction hero / insert whatever faction.
Right. Hersine, when you're doing this kind of story, I mentioned Molag Bal setting it in the time frame of ESO, but like you were saying, you weren't really sure about a time frame. Who would you want the villain to be? Like, what do you want, like a major end of the world plot with the Daedric Prince? Do you want some sort of more like focused political intrigue kind of thing with continental politics, or like how do you see that?
Off the top of my head, I think an interesting villain would be a callback to someone niche that only people who've really played the older games would have known. And so they'd be like, hey, and I think a good enemy would be Ebon Arm, the old like Ebony from like Arena and Daggerfall.
I love this.
Okay.
Become more involved. Because, I mean, if you read some of the stories about him alone, I mean, there's a lot of interesting ones, but sometimes he'll be the decider of battles rather just watch over to see who wins or gets involved. Like, it's a very interesting old character that just kind of gotten pushed aside.
Yeah,
as far as I know, I haven't read everything in Elder Scrolls Online, but still.
Yeah, it's one of the characters that was basically left behind. It was one of those early characters that never showed back up again and didn't.
One of the first episodes that I actually did when I was a full host on Lorecast was because I thought that that's why I love that, because I was like, oh yeah, that's a super niche one where it's like even people who are like, I play Elder Scrolls. Well, we're getting real deep cut here.
Yeah. Well, what about this? Yeah. Definitely. Well, these are some really cool ideas, Hersine.
Yeah, I think he'd be good because first off, most antagonists tend to be Daedra, so to mix it up a little bit would be fun. Secondly, he does get involved with a lot of in-house fighting and politics, and the way how he just like portrayed, it would create a lot of interesting threads in an overarching like story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'd be a pretty interesting antagonist, you know, just off the top of my head.
With the way the internet is these days, do you think that you would have pushback from like the super fans who are like, who is this? This is like, this guy doesn't show up in any of the games that I've played.
This isn't even Elder Scrolls related.
This isn't even, they just made up a new character.
They made up new lore.
Right. They're just broke the lore.
I'll just send them the link to Coda and call it a day.
Yeah. But you know how that stuff goes. They're like,
it'd be cool if it wasn't like apparent who the antagonist was. It was just some black knight. And so people like, you know, theorize, oh, it's like the Ebony Warrior from Skyrim.
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody's going to go with the Ebony Warrior from Skyrim,
which,
because
to be fair,
most people
think the Ebony Warrior from Skyrim is Ebon Arm.
I was going to say, there's some idea that maybe they are related.
But. And so, like, just having it be that mystery, and maybe not even apparent that it's a Black Knight at first, it's just some ominous figure, and then, like, it just leads more into it and more into it, and then by the end, you're like, oh, it's Ebon Arm. We didn't even know he was still around.
Wah, wah, wah. Who is actually secretly Sheogorath. And then he takes off the helmet and goes, you got any cheese? And you're like, ah.
It's just Wes Johnson.
It's just Wes Johnson in the role.
Sheogorath, it's just Wes Johnson.
They just, like, it's the actor Wes Johnson as, yeah. And the one of the main characters goes, oh, it's Sheogorath. And he goes, who's that? I'm Wes Johnson. All right, now we've gone super meta. Thank you, Hersine. This is a really fun idea. We've got to move on and get some other ideas. Who wants to go next? Anybody have another concept to throw out there?
But I'm just happy to go last after other people.
Yeah, let's
their ideas.
Let's let the patrons go first. I'm staring at Blinding and
thoughts on this.
And Rob, and I can't see Falcon. Falcon, do you want to go?
Yeah, I think I am.
Falcon's calling in from work, so please excuse the background sounds.
There might be background noise. I'm sorry. Elder Scrolls feels like very lonely to me. Like, it's a, your character feels very solitary. I'm like, the Fallout show works because those three are very like tight. There are three characters that interact a lot, but that's also the Fallout series. I don't think that works for Elder Scrolls. Does the game need, the games I feel are very lonely. So it needs, I feel like it needs to be just focused on one character.
Like the hero's journey, like one specific character.
The hero's journey, and like no one quite fits to anywhere but is expected by everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you talking like a savior kind of thing? Like this is the prisoner or the dragonborn or something like that, and they rise to the occasion, nobody expects them, they show up out of nowhere.
Yeah, and Elder Scrolls games feel very much like end of the world, oh god, what's happening? So I feel like that theme needs to be kept up if there is a show of this massive world ending / changing event is happening.
Okay, so what kind of event would you put into, I mean, we've been through a few of those in the games. Is there a specific event that you want to relive, or is there like a new idea?
Jigalag is like vaguely free now, and he doesn't come up in Skyrim. I know he, like, well, his story is that he comes at the end of eras, but I kind of got from that DLC that he's separate now. He's no longer tied to that era.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
End of eras.
Right. It would be interesting to see what that turns, because we haven't followed up on that at all. Right. Like we don't really know what that means. So you're thinking we play something like later on in the story, after Skyrim, maybe even?
Yeah, it'd have to be after Skyrim, because, I mean, if Jigalag came back between Oblivion and Skyrim, that'd be something in, like, books and writings that show up and make a lot of people too upset.
Right. Okay, so you're thinking, like, Jigalag comes back, and decides that he's going to put back to order everything.
Yeah, his quest for order is, I'm trying to think of something that has this trope. Feels like something in, like, maybe this is like what Terminator has of, like, what's happening, what's going on is flawed, so it cannot have the perfect order. So he comes in, and to have the perfect order, he tries to end everything.
Okay. Yeah. So this order versus chaos thing is a very common concept in fantasy and fiction and those kinds of things. I could see that playing out. Rob,
so Arnold Schwarzenegger would be playing Jigalag?
Yes, I think he should.
That'd be perfect.
Oh, man. I will commit you to order, not chaos. That's my
terrible.
I feel
like he might be a little past his prime for
Arnold. Yeah,
he did that one commercial for the Super Bowl, so he's still in it.
I'm just saying he's a lot less symmetrical than his bodybuilding days.
To be fair, Jigalad is pretty asymmetrical too.
Yeah. Plus you can just cover him with a bunch of those like diamond shaped things and then.
That's true.
Oh, now I'm just remembering him in Mr. Freeze.
I was about to say, so just like Mr. Freeze from
Oh
Batman.
No. Oh
forever.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
All right. So we're talking like future story. Single protagonist, somebody who is some sort of chosen one of some kind, and they're standing against the dangerous order that would basically destroy everything the way we know it, because Jigalag wants to be in control again and basically take control of everything. I would imagine that you would have some sort of conflict with the other Daedric princes, who would be like, all right, well, we've dealt with this before. let's deal with it again. Maybe something like that. I don't know. Like, does anybody else have any thoughts on this one? Does this bring
up any? Yeah, I guess if you're throwing Jigalag in there, it kind of becomes a cosmic plot more than a interpersonal plot. So, like, I feel like you'd have to have a good reason for it to not be as all-encompassing as it normally would be expected to be, or you would just have to throw in a bunch of big names, like other Daedric princes getting involved, and maybe the Aedra are somehow thrown into this as well, because, like, that's a big, like, cosmic scale event if Jigalag's there. Or you just find an excuse for that to not be the case.
Right, right. Hersine, did you want to think of one? Chime in? Did you? It felt like you had something to say, too.
I guess facing Jigalad would be a pretty fun and interesting concept. He's definitely a summons minions to try and conquest through that kind of guy. The question is, what would our protagonist be like?
So the idea in my mind is you have a hero's journey. You have somebody who is willing to bridge the gap to the powers that may help fight against Jigalag, which means probably a series of like figuring out how to summon other Daedric princes or whatever. And then, like, just like when you play through Skyrim or whatever, and you're like, oh, I found Meridia's Temple, or I found this magic item, and now all of a sudden Daedric Prince is talking to me about something, and I'm asking me to go do a thing in order for me to gain the power that I want, right? You could have this, like, stared approach to them dealing with these cosmic powers, brokering deals with Daedric princes in order to gather the strength that they would need to fight against Jigalag or something like that, right? Like, you kind of build that up while introducing this entire spectrum of like cosmic conflict that's actually playing out underneath everything. But it just starts with like, well, I need to find a sword that can kill a god. How do I do that? Or something, you know, something like that, right? And that becomes the MacGuffin. And then
Look, I found a god-killing sword.
Right, right. Or, you know, and you could, I mean, you could pull in Daedric
land out here.
Right, you could pull in Daedric artifacts and tomes, and maybe they're seeking to find an Elder Scroll, because that's the only thing that will really, in the end, fight back, even after they've gained all of these other artifacts or made deals with Daedric princes or those kinds of things. That's kind of where my mind goes with it. What do you think about that?
The Elder Scrolls just tells them to go talk to Hermaeus Mora, since he likes to get rid of Daedric princes on the regular.
Right, right. Just summon Hermaeus Mora. He'll take care of it.
I actually think I have a pretty good idea what the protagonist would be. I think a Khajiit from elsewhere, who like follows Bankar, right? Is that the
what was the name of that?
Bankarai is in other place with the Bretons, Irok.
What was the bandit god for the elsewhere?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name. It's okay. It'll pop up later on in the show, and somebody will be
will say it in chat. Surely, right.
Are you talking about Bandar? Russian?
Bandar.
A Khajiit that follows Bandar, you know, kind of chaotic in nature, likes to steal things, the exact opposite of what Jigalad is all about, which is order. And through those kind of like, through that hero's journey, there's like the butting heads between chaos and order, but chaos is actually more of the mortal concept, whereas order is more of the like godly concept. Kind of flip it on its script, like that story would normally go as.
Well, you could even work in the Thalmor being on the side of order, because they think that's going to actually bring them back to power, because they don't like the chaos that mankind and Lorcan and whoever brings to reality. Like, you could totally play that up among other groups who have some like connected interest in that dynamic.
Like a big reveal could be that Jigalad claims that he is the brother of Trinimac or something along that line.
Oh,
so they're like, oh, ancestor all the way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You could. Yeah. You could tie a lot of that stuff together. Yeah.
That's interesting. Jigalag. So cross pantheon in like three different ways.
That sounds like Elder Scrolls. To be fair, all the pantheons cross constantly. It's yeah. just different it's names for the same dude. Like,
well, yeah. Times. But that's the thing. They always keep it like, oh, if we're crossing pantheons, we're going to address them in this way. But it's like, oh, yeah. No, we're just going to mix it all together this time, which I don't hate. It's just interesting.
Right. Do you think it would be too much for a standard audience, or heck, even the video game audience, to have a Khajiit as the main character? Like, would that come across
so
a little too foreign on that? Or do you, what do you think?
Yeah, I think if you're gonna go with just one character, I like the idea of it like never really coming up what they look like. Like, they're in like this big suit of armor the entire time. You can't see anything. They've got like one of the bottom halves, which is almost like a skirt kind of thing going down to their ankles.
Right. Like a Mandalorian sort of thing where you can't see the character. You
can't just see the face, can't see the skin, whether or not they have a tail. And
yeah,
then
kind of like the main character of Halo.
Yeah, that guy wouldn't take off a helmet or anything.
No,
like that.
No.
No.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, the Ascendant Lord effect says when
yeah,
dragon
very much so.
Yeah, I guess you could do that. I mean, it works for the Mandalorian. You know, like, that totally makes sense. Now, so, I would imagine, like, real quick before you chime in, I would imagine that once you do reveal the face, you have to have a really good prosthetics, or
yeah, no, it can't look cheap.
A CG character that's better than the ones from the cat movie, oh, man. Because it can't be that. Just can't be that.
To be fair, the Elder Scrolls Online cinematic trailers are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just use
those blur trailers. You guys see the D&D movie Honor Among Thieves? They had the Tabaxi people in there in like one quick scene.
Right.
And yeah, it was just like all, I think it was like puppets and stuff that they did. And it looked kind of cheesy, but it was cool. I guess it was good.
It was good. I don't know if you could do a main character like that, but it was definitely fun for the movie. You know, like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just have to wonder how they do that and make it work.
So the only thing I want to say, just specifically on the point you made, do you think that, you know, the general audience would be like, okay with something like that? And I don't know if this is like a common opinion. I mean, I certainly know it's not a common opinion within a lot of production things, but one of the big problems by making things too accessible, like in that regard of like, well, we don't want it to be too weird, is I think that's what's losing people.
Yeah, it loses. Yeah. It doesn't
do
have
not
an identity.
Respect their audience's intelligence anymore. And right. it, when they usually what catches people's attention tends to be the weird stuff, and then it gets watered down, and that's where you get the, oh, well, it's not as well. Okay, yeah, no, it's supposed to be more broadly appealing, but instead it just appeals to no one, and
it's
that's
just
usually when these things flop. Like Morrowind is hyper weird,
right?
And that's what started the Elder. Well, that essentially saved Bethesda,
right?
And since then, yes, okay, other games have sold more because each one's going to piggyback off the others. And there's certainly a level of accessibility you want type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people are way too afraid to take chances on things being weird. Because like by all reasonable logic, back to Game of Thrones, when one of the main plots of the show is like really sketchy on these two characters being related to each other, like that is not normal. Like that is not a normal
right.
And that show did gangbusters with concept after concept after concept of just weird stuff.
That's true.
The fact that like Morrowind was such a saving game, and it was dark elves, and it's like not only is like elf off human, but you have like these charcoal skinned people. It's like that's already fancy enough. And then you got the mushroom lands everywhere.
Yeah.
That really worked well, of course. And then like with Mandalorian, people are saying, oh, if you can't see the main character's face, the show's gonna bomb, no one's gonna watch that.
You can't connect to him.
Yeah,
okay.
Nope,
really?
Not at all.
Obviously not true.
Because great voice acting and great actual acting, even without a face, carries a lot of weight for
again,
sure.
So I think a really weird character would be a really good twist on that.
Right, and you need a solid background for that to work. You can't just be weird for the sake of weird and expect it to make like that to be your crux. But if I think when something is well written and it is done correctly, being weird can actually somehow be like a benefit in many cases.
It becomes a selling point. It becomes a way for things to stand out. Yeah.
Right. It's a talking point. And then when you hook people with a great story or great acting, it's like, oh, and also, hey, I remember this because this is super weird as well. So you kind of get that double hit. The problem is oftentimes that can be much easier said than done.
If the main character is like an orc or an Argonian, it's like, well, how many other shows have their main character as an Argonian? Like, or a lizard person in general. It's like, no one's doing that. Of course, this is going to stand out. This is going to make it interesting to the people.
Yeah. I still think you would need to have a diverse enough cast. Like the Fallout show is a good example. One of them is a ghoul. And that is weird, right? Like, that's not a common thing. But they did make it a little safer because the face isn't as torn apart and distorted. And hi, Falcon, you've got all sorts of sounds going on, man. Thanks for the meeting. I was like, what is that sound? But you get what I'm saying. Like, you have the weird one in the mix, but then you still have common looking people, Maximus and Lucy, who are like, oh, these are still regular people that I can kind of identify with. But you can still identify with the ghoul because you get the backstory and you get the other stuff going on before the ghoulification. But even then, the ghoulification was done in a kind of safe way. You know, you look at the ghouls in, say, like Fallout 3, and their faces are falling apart as opposed to being just kind of mangled and no nose. Like,
without spoiling anything, I mean, there is a relative on the show that certainly lives up to that.
Yeah. So, and
I don't think you have to like go out of your way to make sure that, like, for example, like the ghoul is extra relatable. So we show what he was like before he was a ghoul. It's like, well, you can do that. And that makes it safer to go about that. But also, if you don't, and you just make it an interesting, relatable character because it's an interesting, relatable character, and you don't have to show who they were before they were a freak, they're just a freak who is cool and interesting, that can be enough, and that can be something that sets it apart and makes it, you know, stand out. And that could be a strength, not a weakness.
You could also, on that same vein, I was going to say, you could play it safe with things like Dark Elves and show that they also have strip clubs and stuff like that.
The corner clubs, yeah.
Nice. Well, hey, guys, we got to take a quick break here and thank our patrons. So we got to thank you and everyone else who supports the show. And I'll try to get through this real quick because we've got some more concepts to discuss. So don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank our patrons, including our newest patrons who signed up in the last 2 weeks. I believe it's Johan, I think is how you pronounce your name. Johan N. Fritz de Gids, maybe? I'm probably butchering that one. And Embracing Modernity. Modernity. That's an interesting word that I can't say very well either. Thank you for signing up. Thank you for being here and supporting the show. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, including Blinding Vision, Hairscene, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, and Kira C. Thank you so much for your support. If you are interested in seeing what everyone's getting for helping support the show, head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You can take a look at all the t-shirts and all the different things you can get, ad-free episodes, the early episodes of the show that are no longer just available for everybody. There's lots of stuff over there. So go check it out. Help us out. And if we're helping you get through your workday or your workout or, I don't know, other stuff. I usually have something funny to say. Lotus, is there anything else that people do while listening to podcasts?
Nothing. I have nothing funny. I am
microwaving your
unfunny broccoli
because that's only takes a few minutes. But anyway, thank you for your support. And if you'd like to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read out your review on an episode of the show coming up, or you can rate the show on Spotify or whatever other platform you listen to this on, or you can share it with your friends. Any of that stuff is absolutely amazingly helpful to us, so thanks for being here. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back. Who would like to go next? Who has a theory they'd like to share? Rob? Rob's next up.
Yeah, sure.
What's your plan for the Elder Scrolls TV show?
So I think, no matter what, if they ever did do a show like that, repeating a story that we've already seen before is recipe for disaster, because it's always going to disappoint someone. So I'd always say just pick a new story, that way you don't have to worry about inaccuracies getting checked or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of a smaller scale, because I would imagine this is live action, and if we want to see the true fantastical world in all of its glory, you got to wait till season two for a good budget.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Make season one work, and then you get a bigger budget, and then you can do the stuff. Yeah.
So I feel like a good grounded story, you can splice in some still fantastical elements to it, but it would take place mostly on Nern. It would be like the main character is just like a zero to hero person. They're not some chosen one. They're just a person who rose to the challenge, and maybe a family member or friend is taken or something like that, and they're just trying to find their missing person. And I think an interesting antagonist that could be at the root of all of it would be Sanguine, because we don't see him as a villain too often. We just see him as a chaotic element, and he is still has the potential to be a very interesting villain. And I think it would be really cool to see him, like, I don't know, trying to be kidnapping people to create this like eternal party or something like that. And so he like has these like people that are like essentially slaved away for this endless party that he wants to create. And that'd be like a really cool story element.
I could even see that part, the reason why he wants to have the, like, it's like the best party ever, is because he knows there's other stuff going on that will end the world. And that's the segue into season two of, like, well, here's really what's going on, why Sanguine was trying to have the best party before everything ended.
Yeah, that could be a great cliffhanger too, to like, oh yeah, this is not that big of a deal, and it's like, oh, this is much worse than we implied all season one.
And
maybe he's on the side of the big calamity, and he's intentionally just trying to be a distraction so that the other person can succeed. It's like a team up thing. Or maybe it's the exact opposite. It's like, man, this stuff sucks. Let's go party. And it could be either one, whatever the plot deems.
Right. Wait, is there somebody you would cast as Sanguine?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because it would be an interesting role to cast for. Yeah. You'd have to have somebody who was like really charismatic and kind of dark and spooky.
I know the perfect actor for Sanguine. It's Jack Black.
There you go. Yeah,
I was actually going to say
Pedro Pascal.
just because he can do any role. Yeah,
that's fair. He can do anything.
I was actually going to say, would it be kind of cool to have him? He's like kidnapping different people throughout the world to join his eternal party, and each time we see a Sanguine personified in a different person.
And so it could be
Jack Black one time, and it could be Pedro Pascal. Right.
So for
Tom Hanks,
the meme of it,
you get Tom Hanks,
another one.
You get
Tom Hanks, perfect, great,
because he can play anything too.
Yeah. maybe Cameron Diaz, just cause I don't know.
Sure.
Just like throwing names out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could manifest as female. Sure. Absolutely. So you could have all sorts of different versions.
Yeah. It's like almost just like literally anyone and everyone. It's like, cause that's his thing is like, oh, it's Sam at the bar, and Sam's a very neutral name. So you could like, it's just whoever Sam at the bar is, and Sam's always a different person. That's the antagonist. And then the people who don't know about the Skrulls are just like, man, this Sam character is freaking weird. I don't understand.
What is going on?
And everyone else who's already in the Elder Scrolls is like, it's Sanguine, yo.
Yeah. All right. So who would be the protagonist, or who would you cast to be the protagonist? First of all, what race would they be? And then who would you cast as them?
I mean, if you're asking me, I would say orc, because orc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So who would be the like this badass orc rising from nothing to go get their family member back or whatever, and then they have to confront Sanguine? Jack Black also. There you go.
Jack Black also.
Yeah.
Yep. There we go. Jack is actually going to go Eddie Murphy style, and Jack Black is just going to play every role.
Ah. That's perfect. Well, you guys were saying how weird is a benefit to shows. That would definitely be weird.
That certainly would fill that criteria.
That was purely sarcastic. Please don't do that ever.
Too late.
All right.
But I'm not picky on like the casting. I just think the concept is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Someone should take it and run, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like the kind of like one of those little side storylines that you come across when you encounter one of the Daedric princes, and you're like, oh, this whole other thing's going on. I had no idea about that. Yeah. Let's open this up. Who else has thoughts on this one? What do you guys think about a Sanguine kind of storyline with a zero to hero?
I could see that being very interesting because it's an underutilized prince.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Blinding. What were you thinking?
I love the idea that, one of the things that he does is he kind of appears as different people. And that would actually be an amazing way to gain some traction of like, hey, do you see who's playing him this week? As a almost a marketing kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's also like Doctor Who. Like, yeah, kind of like Doctor Who. It's also a stepstone into the weirdness of Daedric princes. Like, it kind of teaches you a little bit about them. Like, oh, they can manifest as different people, or they can manifest through people. You know, maybe they have an avatar, or maybe they have different avatars because he can't actually invade Nern. So, like, it starts to define some of the rules of how this universe works, while incorporating different actors or different races or different locations, maybe even that these things are happening as the protagonist works their way through the story.
And each time it can show kind of how multifaceted, like there's not just a prince of a thing, like people think like Greek gods, like, oh, Zeus is the god of lightning. Lightning is the only thing. That's all it is. It's like, well, no, all of these are more all encompassing than that. So it's like, okay, you could have that show in this way, in that he's the prince of debauchery and all these other things. And each time he's going to be represented in a different person, and it's gonna be like a different kind of drunk, like
a different sin. Yeah, sort of thing.
Like,
yeah,
we'll have a version of Sam just be like a cute girl at the bar trying to seduce someone, and then another time it's like this angry drunk, like belligerent man who's like an angry drunk, and is like, what kind of drunk is Sam gonna be this next time?
Or a vampire that just wants to eat everybody because they're a glutton and they want all the blood, which is connected as well. Yeah you can manifest this in all sorts of different ways, and yet it's something that's very hard to fight against for the hero, right? Because it's this absolute much bigger thing that's going on. You don't just address the one character you meet at the bar because they're an avatar of this greater thing. How do you deal with that, right? It creates this dilemma for the audience to go, well, how do you even solve that problem?
And maybe they're not even the direct obvious source of the issue. They're just like always in the room as something's going on, and then by like the fourth or fifth time it's like, it's you. You're doing something here. Right. And then it's more confrontational towards the end of the series.
Right.
So I got an idea for not like necessarily a thing, but like almost a calling card. I mean, Sanguine's Rose just leaves a rose pretty much every time he's got someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
the calling
would be
card.
Really cool because I don't think people would get that for a while outside of like, that's like a perfect, like just enough that if you really are looking for it from an Elder Scrolls like player perspective, you'd probably catch that, and the general audience would probably not notice that as weird at first.
Especially if the camera doesn't zoom in on it or make it like a very obvious thing. It's just something in the background left on the counter, or
that would be really
something pinned to somebody's lapel, or the flower in the hair, or, you know, things like that.
It'd be creating kind of an issue if they're always being represented in a different way. And the only common thing is that their name is Sam. And then, like, I was like, well, that might confuse people at first if they have no idea what this is. So having a calling card of some kind, not only is their name Sam every single time, but, like, beyond that, it's also something else stands out about them that they can identify. It's like, you're the same person every time.
Right.
You're the root of this.
It gives people, even without the background in the series, the ability to connect to it. Because it's something Fallout did very well. Like, my wife doesn't play video games really outside, like, the N64. So she went in with no context to Fallout, and the second I tried to watch an episode without her, she got really annoyed and wanted to watch it. She's like, no, don't watch it without me. And I'm like, okay, so this apparently does appeal to people who do not play Fallout. Got it. Like,
yeah. This idea even has kind of a film noir quality to it, to me. This, like, the main character is going to have to be a detective to understand what's actually happening here. Almost like Supernatural or something, right? Like an episode of Supernatural where, like, the weird, wacky thing is happening with the, you know,
I was thinking of a less popular sci-fi show, Lost Girl, where, like, it's always, there's a bar. It's always the same bar where stuff's happening, but, like, it's magical madness happening every time.
Right.
Similar to Supernatural.
Right. But, like, kind of a detective kind of quality to it, a little bit noir-esque in a, like, you know, dangerous situation that's playing out, and, like, maybe a seductive woman shows up and all of that kind of thing. Yeah, I could totally see that. This is a really fun idea, Rob. Well, we got to keep rolling. We're getting close to the end of the episode. Blinding, you haven't chimed in with an idea yet. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I didn't have one at the start of this. My idea behind it was, I mean, Fallout is at least grounded in a world that we recognize, and Elder Scrolls is pretty far from that. Original idea was maybe a remake of, like, Arena, just being, I started playing Arena a while back, and, man, I also like the idea of orcs getting another story, but something that was said earlier in this episode that kind of had an idea. It's not necessarily a show that you can start out with, but this would be like a combined universe spinoff esque series. Just the political intrigue and the dealings of the Daedra between themselves, the different Daedric princes, because, I mean, it's gonna be wacky. They've got all these different things that they've got going on.
What if it's an ensemble comedy thing?
Right. It could be, because some of their dealings aren't even, like, nefarious. Sometimes they're just messing with one another.
That's true. It's true. Like, I could imagine there have been some of these, like, adult cartoon type comedies that have come out recently, and that are just so over the top and so ridiculous, but they get away with it because they're cartoons. You could totally
tell, and
you
like could Hell of a Boss.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a number of them. Yeah, you could totally play this up in that kind of way of, like, like, just take everything to the comedic extreme, right? Like, have, I don't know, like, each of the Daedric princes, like, maybe once an era, once an age of the world, they all get together for a meeting. And, of course, like, they all know each other. And, you know, Molag Bal is doing his thing, and everyone's like, don't put your feet on the table. And, like, you know, like, just like, almost like The Office, but for Daedric princes.
Jigalag's got a hammer. He's trying to keep order. Not very likely to happen. That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sheogorath keeps, you know, bringing in carts of cheese for everybody, and everyone's just like, sit down already, buddy. Come on, we got to start the meeting.
There are 8 charcuterie boards here.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And Meridia's like, you know, shining light on everyone's face every time she talks, and they're like, stop with the light. You could play this up in all sorts of ways.
I feel like a Daedric war room would just be chaos. Imagine her scene just being like, actually, well, not her scene, but Hermaeus Mora being like, actually,
yeah, that's right. He pushes up 50 different pairs of glasses at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is the era that Hermaeus Moore is going to be leading the meeting. Thank you for coming, everyone.
I hope, like, you blocked out the next 14 hours.
17 months later.
Page document.
Yeah, 17 so months later.
In the shadows, but with Daedric Princes.
Yes, yes. 17 months later, and that was the introduction. Now down to business. Everyone's like asleep.
Article 1.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, like an Elder Scrolls mockumentary. Yeah, absolutely. That would be amazing. And were you thinking comedic in this? Because I kind of threw it in that direction. But I guess, well, you could take it in a much more serious way as well.
You could. And I like the idea that it doesn't have to necessarily be either one of them. Because, again, there are some Daedric Princes that are very serious in tone, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Which would play well against the ones that are very not serious in tone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You put those two together and then you've got like the straight man and the clown and all of that for sure. Yeah, I could see that. What did the rest of you think? Any other ideas on this one?
I mean, what we do in the shadows, but Daedric Princes sounds utterly amazing.
Right. Just pick a few of them and make them live together?
Like, yeah.
In Staten Island? Or like, how does that work?
Daedric.
Perfect.
Well, instead of Staten Island, it would just be Ominous.
Pearson keeps taking all of Dagon's stuff.
Right. Right. Oh, man.
It's mine. I conquered it.
I was going to say, that is a great deep joke.
Thank you. Fully intentional.
Yeah. Or what if you just only picked like the most self-serious, like terrible ones and made them all live together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hersin and Dagon are pretty serious. Hersin, so that'd be pretty funny.
Dagon, Molag Bal.
Boethia.
Boethia is like always serious all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But with just all moping in his room all the time. He's like, nobody understands me.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to see this series now. This is on my top list of things I want to see. Maybe they've all been like depowered and they have to live in the world as if they were mortals for some reason, for like some designated period of time.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Like, it's like in like they live on the outskirts of like the capital city in Cyrodiil. And like, you know, like, time to go to the market, go to buy food. Like, what's this whole eating thing? And Hersin's like, that's what the hunt's for, my friend.
Over-explaining what a hunt is.
Right.
Certain ones, like Hermaeus Mora, don't get, like, a human form. It's just this mass of, like, eyeballs and tentacles just shuffling into the city.
Right. They treat it like their dog, Hermaeus Mora. Hermaeus Mora's their fuzzy
with, like,
dog.
Wallet or a purse.
I was just thinking he comes as a literal potato at this point. He's like, it's not even like subtle. It's just like the oblivion potato.
Yeah.
Clavicus Vile is stuck in the form of a dog and now you know what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Clavicus. Come on. Come on, boy. Come
on. Falcon said Elder Scrolls Space Jam.
Huh. I don't know how that works.
I guess like with like the Monstars, except they're princes.
Yeah. 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 No, I totally see where that's going. Oh, yeah.
Weird.
All right. Well, then Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You just get Michael Jordan and play Michael Jordan.
He's just the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I slept in another universe again. Here I go.
Yeah. And he's also somehow like the next Uriel Septim or something, somehow. Like,
he's the next Hunding, you know.
Hunding. Right.
There you go. Yeah. Totally. That would totally work. Blinding, this is a really fun idea. All right. We got to get to Lotus's idea before we run out of time. Lotus, you said you had an idea for the show.
Okay. So. I actually appreciate like the idea that all of these are like creating new stories in the series and stuff like that. But the thing that I've actually long wanted them to do more with, and they really don't, is instead of writing new stories, which usually gets kind of divisive and stuff like that, I wish that they would take some of the events and stories we hear about in these games and actually turn them into individual series. Like the whole thing about Nerevar before, like, and the the whole Battle of Red Mountain and how this all betrayal, it's all speculation. Like, but the stories are there and they're, you know, discussed. You could turn that into a seat. Like, you have enough to work with there to make that a season of the show.
What if that was a movie? What if you did like an MCU kind of thing where you had like these historic moments all encapsulated in their own films?
I could see that, because my thought would be the seasons don't need to relate, because some things kind of do that. It's like the idea of like Black Mirror's each episode is kind of unrelated. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of each season tackles something from the universe,
like
that
American
is
Horror Story.
Yeah, boom. That's actually perfect. That's exactly it. Like that type of thing. And I just would love them exploring some of the things that are kind of like accepted as part of the series, but all we ever do is hear about them. We never experience them. And you have so many stories, like even things like A Dance in Fire, the book type of deal. That is so elaborate. That is a script to a TV show. And it's just a book series in game.
I rescind my earlier statement of saying previous stories are disaster for recipes, because if you use the in-game books as reference for a story that they want to tell, that is cool. I don't want to get the plot of Morrowind again on TV.
Right.
Yeah, no, and very that, much. Like, that I agree with. The games are the games. Right. The novels are the novels. But like, don't retread that ground. Let that be its own thing.
Well, these other stories work because you haven't played through them and made your own decisions, right? Like they're just parts of history that get a little fleshed out. So you could do the Battle of Red Mountain, you could do Tiber Septim.
Yep. You could do the Rise of Tiber Septim, exactly. Tiber Septim. Like the dwarves thing that would drive everybody insane.
Yeah,
Be kind of interesting.
Right.
And then it's like you've got some of these like anecdotal stories, you know, like Decimus Scotti and stuff like that, which are like really elaborately written stories that, let's be honest, like 1%, if that, of even hardcore Elder Scrolls players probably even know, because most people don't sit and read the books. And you know, something like A Dance in Fire, it's like 14 books, I think. So not only do you need to have the patience to read them all, you have to have found them all or be willing to go to the Wikipedia, like UESP or something, to actually read them. It's these really cool stories that are essentially in the lore and just lost because nobody really gets to experience them. It'd be kind of neat if they just used those as the idea behind seasons and stuff like that. And then it's like, it's the same universe. You could probably get a mix of weird and kind of approachable, and you could kind of fill out the lore without people getting all bent out of shape about like, oh, well, you know, this, where does this fit in the timeline? It's like, well, it doesn't matter where it fits in the timeline.
Or if it's exactly in this one place, because everything constantly references it and we know exactly when that happened. Yeah.
And since all of this is such a gray area when it deals with stuff like the Battle of Red Mountain or whatever, it's like, okay, well, here's a version of what could be, because it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I just would love to see some of those stories because I've long wanted to see them when you hear about them so much. And again, that doesn't relate to you making a character that you play through.
Right. Would you want to see them done in live action, or would you want to see them maybe done in a like rendered, like the scenes from ESO or as a cartoon?
I was going to bring that up kind of to close and see what everybody's thoughts were on their ideas. But I actually really think live action is a much bigger undertaking when you get into the weird stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Because done poorly, it's apparent and looks cheap and it's not great. Mm-hmm. But when done well, I feel that it lands better. And that's something that more people, I think, as a general, like talking about, like, you know, broad blue ocean audience that you're trying to scoop up with a TV show or a movie or something like that. It's not that cartoon styles or animated aren't accepted, but like the mass audience, you can get people that really have no interest in this stuff scooped in when it's real.
Right.
And it can still be weird, but it's like when you can see a person, I feel like that's much more accepting to the general masses.
Right.
There are
people who will never watch an anime or a 3D rendered Netflix series, but will give something that's live action a chance.
But can you imagine the studio that did Castlevania?
Right. And so
totally. It would be great, but it wouldn't be as big. That the Lotus's yeah, so point that, is that yeah, would yeah, still yeah. be wonderful for those it of us who are fans better, of the thing. But
it, yeah.
But
yeah, you, it would also probably be a lot cheaper
right.
than trying to fully animate the stranger races or some more dramatic events
right.
type yeah. of deal. But I feel like you do limit your audience, because that was actually one of the ones I was going to bring up, is the fact that Castlevania was very well done, and that has not clicked with any of my friends who don't know anything about Castlevania.
Right. I think you either have to be a Castlevania fan or an anime yeah. fan to have given that a shot. Otherwise, right. it's not
Whereas
on your radar.
Fallout or The Last of Us, I don't know anybody who didn't enjoy those out of my friend group who didn't have a connection to those either. So it's like, I think even that little bit was enough that it didn't connect with people.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're definitely going to hit much broader audiences if sure. you're able to accomplish live action, but it's also a lot lower risk if you don't.
That's also true. Very That's true. True.
They could do
the,
it.
The investment cost would be way low. Not that animation is cheap by any means, but mm-hmm. way less involved than like, okay, so how are we going to make Argonians not look cringe in this like show?
Right.
And actually have them like it. You
Easy.
Know.
Put them all in maid dresses.
Well, I think
so much cringe.
I think they could take it in the direction that, say, like the Witcher series did with having
yes.
the spinoff like animated versions of stuff, or Cyberpunk.
I was about to say, didn't Cyberpunk started, do something with that?
Right. They started with animation, and who knows if they're ever going to do a live action thing, but just because you take your concept and go over some of these like major stories in the series and you do it in one format that may not be live action doesn't sure. mean that you can't maybe use that as a way to gauge interest in the world and then do a live action thing later.
Sure. Yeah. Do like a spinoff or something like that.
That's just other stuff. Season one idea. Yep.
Yeah.
And then we tail off and do some crazy animation stuff after.
Right. Sure.
Once you can get people hooked sure. on a series, you also get a lot more leeway.
Right. And so, for example, like the Witcher stuff, I bet you have a lot of people who were introduced to the Witcher with the live action stuff and then gave the animation a shot because they were already right. familiar with the Witcher.
Yes. So, exactly.
Like doing Love, Death, Robots, where almost every episode's kind of a different format.
Yeah, they were all actually done by different yeah. studios as well. Heck, you could do that. You could do like every episode is a key story in the history of Elder Scrolls as done by a different studio.
That would be interesting.
That would be really cool, because then you'd have different takes on like, oh, what do these races look like, or what do these places look like, or what actually happened at this place? And maybe they're all written and scripted by official authors who know the lore, but the way they actually develop the visuals and, you know, the way the thing looks is depends on a different studio. That could be really cool.
Sure.
Way back in the day, they did the Dante's Inferno video game, which was a retelling of a classic story.
Mm-hmm.
They did an animated version of the video game of Dante's Inferno. And that one, it was all one continuous story, but every chapter of the story was done. It was produced by a different studio. So you like had this like switch and you're still continuing the same story, but it was like, now all the characters look a little different. The world looks a little different.
I completely forgot that was a thing until you just said that.
Have you actually read Dante's Inferno
as well?
Have you read Dante's Inferno? It is nothing like the video game.
No, it's not. The video game is shockingly fun, except for its terrible DLC.
The Divine Comedy, is that you're referring? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Divine Comedy, the thousands-year-old story, right? Nothing like the video
Full
game Dante's Inferno.
Intrigue among Italian individuals and like all the names and the different rings of hell are people that nobody would recognize anymore. And
but
like,
there are subtle similarities.
Yes. Well, the concept of like, are rings of hell and this is a way to see the world.
The overarching concept is about as close as
that gets. That's about as close as that gets.
Also, that video game rocked.
Was very underrated and also had some of the most bizarre monster design in history.
Yeah. Look, if they go the different studio routes, I want to see what story the Jim Henson studio would do.
You want to see like a Muppet one? The Muppets? It would have to be something with like a bunch of Khajiit or like beast races, right? So you have cool looking Muppets of like Khajiit and Argonians. And
I feel like that would just be the Dark
Crystal.
Hold
on. Isn't there an island that literally ends in the name Rock in Elder Scrolls? Something Rock, because we could do like a Fraggle Rock reference.
Oh yeah, Bleak Rock. We could just do Bleak Rock. Rock. Easy peasy.
Rock. Down Bleak Rock.
Clap.
I think Henson Studio should do the Baron Zaya story.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
Okay. That'd be... We should get both Speaking Baron's of stories.
Weird stuff that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be another great season. The real Baron Zaya.
Yeah. Bear and Zaya.
Bear, it's a bear.
It's a
bear. It's like Fozzie Bear in an outfit. Because it's a Muppet. Oh, no. Okay, this has definitely gone off the...
Swedish Chef reference for the Killing the Emperor mission.
Beautiful. I love it. My favorite character.
Oh, man. Yeah, you can have the assassination of the Emperor, but the Emperor is the Swedish Chef.
Is that where you're getting instead of the gourmet.
Okay, and also with Swedish Chef.
Right.
They're posing as Swedish Chef instead of posing as the gourmet.
All right.
Yeah, instead of the gourmet.
The gourmand? Isn't the gourmand?
Yeah.
Well, let me introduce you to the gourmand. Everyone's like,
what? I mean, he walked totally on topic. Of course. I'm like, sorry.
This is the most on topic, but does it weird anybody else that Swedish Chef has just human hands, like an actual human is using hands?
Well, I think he's supposed to be a human. He's not supposed to be an animal.
No, he's not, but he's a puppet except for his hands. Which
and his hands are real big.
The puppeteer.
Right. And his hands are real big. They're people sized hands, and the puppet's slightly small.
It's just the dude.
Right. Yeah. It is a little weird. Yes. And this is why people tune into the show. People love the show because of these weird asides.
It's the weirdest tangent ever.
Yep. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up. These are all some really fun ideas. I would love to hear anybody else's thoughts on this. If you have a theory that you want to throw out there into the world, if you want to comment on any of the ideas that came up, jump into the Discord and let us know. But thank you for joining, everybody. Let's go back through, everyone, and feel free to share anything else you've got going on, stuff you want to throw out into the world. Rob, let's start with you. Anything going on?
Well, I just want to give a congratulations to my best friend, DJ, because I just was the best man at his wedding over the last week. And that was part of the reason why I was relieved that we were able to reschedule the show. So I was able to prepare for that. So congrats to them. They're married now. Woohoo.
Woo, congrats.
And you can catch me at the normal stuff as usual. I don't really have anything new going on. I'm still not playing Elder Scrolls Online and still instead playing Baldur's Gate 3 still after all this time.
Wow.
But Rob the Princess, you can catch me on whatever they call Twitter and Discord and ESO in theory.
Yeah, Jillian says, come back to us. One day. Well, thanks for joining us, Rob. All right, Hersin, thank you for being here as well.
Of course. I had a blast.
Anything you want to share? Anything throw out into the world?
Well, let's see. I need to get back to Elder Scrolls Online. I just started the Hrothgar expansion. I want to try to get through that before the new expansion comes out.
So good.
Nice. Yeah.
On top of that, I'm designing my next cosplay for the event that will happen next year in Seattle. That's going to take a while. And for those of y'all that just wanted to contact me or follow me on anything, my summoning day is the 5th of mid-year. For those that don't know, that's the 5th of June.
Okay.
But if that's a little too far away, I have a Instagram. It's Hersin. The I's are replaced with L's. I know, clever, right? It's a fledgling account. It's still kind of new, but I have some of my cosplays on that. And also on Elder Scrolls Online, I'm Hersin there, where the I's are replaced with L's.
Awesome. Outlander Frog in chat says, love your cosplays, Hersin.
They were so the one I got to actually see in person in Amsterdam was amazing.
Yeah, thanks.
That was the first one I ever made.
That is a talent and a skill that I will never have, but I highly appreciate other people do because it's so cool. Keep here sharing that stuff and post things on the Discord too. I'm sure everybody would love to see them. So thanks for being here. All right, Falcon, you got a chance to jump back on the mic, share anything that's going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always. And yeah, I usually take the podcast off of work, but since it got rescheduled, I couldn't.
Fair.
Yeah. No worries. Anything you want to share with everyone?
I don't know. I'm in the Discord. I send messages. I talk in that, but for the most part, I just play Elder Scrolls, still playing through Arena right now. It's been nice to listen to the episodes on it while I play along.
Nice. Well, good luck. Good luck with that. That's quite the endeavor.
I wish you a very crash-free experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I had one, so let's go.
Good, good.
Well, good.
It usually takes three.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, and then Blinding Vision, you're wrapping it up. Anything you want to share?
Well, I'm glad I actually get to be here for the end of one of these. My ESO team on Thursdays, we're done running on Thursdays. So if you need to get me anywhere, I'm Blinding Vision on pretty much everything. Mostly on Xbox. I've just got a PC. Need some games, recommendations, anything like that.
Have you tried?
Have you heard of Skyrim?
Skyrim. Robin, I had the same joke.
Yeah. Skyrim VR. I downloaded that and I'm starting to install mods on it so that I can experience the things that I couldn't experience.
Yes. Wabbajack. Wabbajack is a game changer. Have you tried Wabbajack?
Is the mod or
there is,
just using it seems dangerous.
There is a program. Yeah. There's a program. Look it up, called Wabbajack, which downloads entire packs of mods that people have already figured out how to put them in order and run everything so that everything works together really well. So you can go download individual mods and try and set them up and then see if the game crashes and all of that, which is a whole thing that lots of people enjoy. I do that all the time. Or if you just want to get like a mod pack with like 400 mods in it and they all just seem to work together, look up Wabbajack and look through some of the mod packs and then make sure you have a Nexus subscription because you will be doing a lot of downloading. But what it will do will automatically download everything, set everything up in the right order to load, and there's minimal amount of effort in actually getting it to launch. Some of them still have some things you have to do to actually like install certain parts, and there will be instructions that like you'll click on one of them, then it'll take you a page and you'll just kind of follow the instructions to get everything installed. But it will absolutely transform Skyrim into something completely different depending on which pack you get.
I just love that me and Tom share the same single brain cell to make the same stupid joke.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. But yeah, that's awesome. Enjoy that. That's a fun experience getting to do PC versions of the games for the first time and actually mod them with the PC stuff. That's really cool. Thanks for joining us, Blinding. And then Lotus, anything else going on you want to share?
No, if you're interested in Elder Scrolls, well, more Elder Scrolls Online specific stuff, but generally Elder Scrolls news in entirety, with a more news slanted roundtable approach. We have Tales of Tamriel presented by the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages, which is the other podcast I do. And I just wanted to actually, I don't really know why YouTube is being YouTube-y the way it is, but to all the people who have recently decided to just go to my YouTube channel, which I post really sporadically on, and it's mostly just goofy stuff I've done, more so than like highly edited products that people spend way more time than me on. But for all the people who have been watching, liking, and all that stuff that I've been putting up, not even semi-consistently, thanks. I super appreciate it. I actually just had a random video of us going through with only one bar, and we did both of the new dungeon trifectas, which is the speedrun, the no death, and the hard mode, just to prove that the style still works and it's really accessible for a lot of players. And it's my first videos to go over 1,000 views just out of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting because other times I've done these things on way harder content, it's around 200 because it's like they're not edited. It's literally just us talking to each other while doing it, usually unrelated. There's no strategy involved. So if you just like stupid banter for 20 minutes while we do a dungeon, apparently YouTube thinks that that's worth showing. So for everybody that's watched and enjoyed those, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. It takes a little while for the algorithm to kind of click with your audience. And I have to wonder if it's really starting to find that group of, you know,
maybe
audience. I really like that
stuff.
Yeah,
you're able to quit your job for YouTube in no time.
Perfect.
thousand view videos. They'll make you like $5. It'll be great.
But so just, you know, wanted to thank everybody for that. Or if you're interested, it's just Lotus of Doom there. It's easy to find.
Awesome. That's awesome, dude. Keep it up. Yeah. And thank you everybody for tuning in. Chat, thank you for being here in the live chat while we do this, the stream and the show and all of that stuff. Lotus and I very much appreciate everybody jumping in and all of you, all of our patrons being here. And if you're interested in any more of my stuff, the Fallout Lorecast has exploded because of the TV show. So you can go look that up if you're into Fallout and want to find out more about the lore of Fallout. I've got almost 300 episodes of all sorts of stuff. So go check that out on whatever podcast you're listening to this on, or head over to robotsradio.net. There's links and all sorts of things over there for my show, for Tales of Tamriel, and for all the other shows on the network. Lots of content out there for you to tune into if you're interested. And thanks for being here, everybody. We'll be back next week with a regular episode. And until then, stay safe. And if you do have any other crazy ideas for a Elder Scrolls TV show, then let us know. We'd love to hear these ideas. And who knows, maybe one of you will actually say the thing that happens. And then maybe, you know, who knows, years from now, if we do get a TV show, you'll be like, oh my God, I predicted it. This is so cool. You never know. All right, everybody. I do have
one more input, by the way.
Yeah, Herzine? Go ahead.
A random page.
Oh, random page. Oh, yes. God, I always forget. Don't worry.
I got it pulled up already. Oh,
I love it.
Did you pull up a random page? Or, I mean, I just pulled one up, so I don't know.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead then.
Okay, so here we go. This is from Elder Scrolls Online. The Forester's Hood with Flower. Remember, we just said, this is so weird. That's actually like a rose on the hood. We were talking about the sanguine with the rose.
Yeah.
A red
it's
flower.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, a red flower pinned to the left side of your hood means you're on a wild hunt for shenanigans, is what it says at the top of the page. The Forester's Hood with Flower is an epic level reward in Wild Hunt crates. Look at that.
This is a sign. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. This is a Hercene / Sanguine kind of thing going on here. That's crazy. And you're the one that reminded us to do the random page. That's so crazy. Yeah.
Hercene always keeps us honest in the random page, which I deeply appreciate.
Yeah, and I always forget.
It's just a fun little detail.
Yeah. I enjoy it as well. All right.
I like it.
Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. See you later, everyone. Bye.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.